Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you. And right from the outside, thank you, or right from the start, thank you for your prayers, for your ongoing fellowship with us. We praise God for that. I want to share two things today, a report on the Lord's work in Zambia. It's not our work, it's His work. And we appreciate you being fellow workers in that. And then secondly, to finish off our time with a study from the Word of God, so that we trust we will all leave feeling encouraged, having heard the voice of the Lord. Many of you are aware of the Logan family and Joy, my wife. We've been married for 16 years. She left the States, Philadelphia, in 96 as a single young lady. And I left England as a single young man in 97, not aware that the Lord would bring us together in Zambia. We're working in different parts, and we praise God for His overruling care in our lives. As you've seen, we have three children. David is 13, our oldest, and Daniel, 11, almost 12, and then Kara, 9 years old. So let me just go through very quickly for you this morning. Where we are in central southern Africa. Just to mention, Zambia is a country with many open opportunities. It's a huge land country, but only a population of about 15 million people. 50% of them would be under the age of 16. When we say open, it means open to everything, all the different types of churches and cults and groups. In terms of religion, they're generally animistic, believing in a spirit world, witchcraft, that type of thing, but are very open to the presentation of the gospel. So I want to just go through with you. When you come into Zambia, you'll fly into Lusaka here, the capital, and then we drive about 12, 13 hours across to this area of Northwest Province where we are. A quick introduction. Children abound in Zambia. Many forms and shapes, they're with you, around you, almost every part of your day, all the way through to the older people. It's not an easy thing to be an old person in Zambia. In the rural areas in which we work, housing is still very basic in terms of the community. The people live in a very communal way. So on your village, you'll have your uncles, aunts, grandparents, etc., the extended family. But we praise God, there's always an opportunity to share the word of God. Funerals, death is a very much part of life in Africa, probably because we live at a hospital, probably because of the scourge of malaria, HIV, etc. But it's always an opportunity to share the good news of Yeshua, our Savior. Weddings, Zambian people, very welcoming. Some people work in another environment where you take years and years to make a contact. We praise God. We have an open country, and their joy comes out at a time of wedding. Ladies use their heads for many things. We know many things go on in the female mind, but in Africa, they're able to carry these things upon their heads as well. I thought that was quite a cute shot of this lady carrying her little water pot back to her village. Historically, cassava was the staple diet. They use maize a lot more nowadays. It's a root crop and also a leaf crop for them. It takes about 18 months to mature in the ground. You dig it up, you soak it, and then you cut it into chips and dry it, and then you pound it into meal, and you stir it into a big pot, and that becomes your daily food. Yes, this is a little outdated, that shot, but I love it. Of daily food, mush twice a day, just very basic food to go with that. You have a relish, often perhaps dried fish or caterpillars, if you're really into that. These people perhaps eat meat once a month, you know, very, very basic diet. Still a lot of thatching in our area. Isn't that amazing? An anthill, termites built that. Thankful they're outside, they're not in your house, because if they're in your house, they will destroy your carpet, if you have a carpet, or your anything wooden, clothing, paper. They love, if you leave a book, by forgetting about it, you may come the next few days and find a replica of the book, and you pick it up and it just crumbles in your hands. They're incredible. Victoria Falls, how could you say there is no God? 17 hours drive from where we are, so we rarely ever get to there. In our era, still huge and beautiful plains, shouting out the glory and greatness of God. A lot of water in Africa. I never expected so much water. But right close by to us, we have Kabompo River, and people still go to the river to draw their water, to wash themselves, their pots and pans, their clothes. But unfortunately, the dire side of life is the crocodile. And in our hospital, several times a year, we have people wounded by a croc, and sadly at times each year, people taken, killed by a crocodile. If you want the inside story on all these things, our children are here. They love to share stories like this. This is a snake that traveled back with us on a vehicle from a conference, would you believe? Actually clung to the bottom of the vehicle and came out in our garden area. But praise God, it was killed before the children noticed it. All sorts of snakes you can go through that. Rabies, still a big problem with dogs. Whole spectrum of things, army ants, you know. They're on a mission. They come out in the rainy season, which is end of October, November time, through to April. The rest of the year is dry, no rain. And in the rainy season, these guys come out very carnivorous. And sometimes they may enter into your home, and literally you hand over and say, okay, take the home for a day, clear it out of all the bugs, we'll come back tomorrow. If you try and fight them, they're just thousands upon thousands upon thousands. They just keep coming. We live in a very tribal area. English is the national language for Zambia, but where we're living, there would be four, five, six tribal languages, Lunda, Lavale, Chokwe, Luchazi, and a couple of others. And we praise God. We have a senior chief who looks after all of that, and he is a believer. This is his palace, and it's great to have friendship with this man. He's about 70 years old, but he does stand up for what is right. That's a huge blessing. Because in many other parts of Zambia, the chief is a drunkard, and you can imagine what that leads to. Praise God for his grace. Pray for him. He's in a battle as well. One of the things he has every year, a yearly celebration, a cultural thing. And praise God, though thousands of young people come to this, you can see just the different slides here. He gives an opportunity, 10, 15 minutes to share the gospel with all these people. Isn't that wonderful? Go to a big celebration in Philadelphia and they give you 10 minutes to preach the gospel. Doesn't happen, eh? And so we get through thousands of leaflets just with young people, etc., through that time. So very quickly, here are our children. Mentioned them already. David, 13. Daniel, 11. Coming, 12. And Kara. And some of their menagerie, all types of pets. You like this one in Zambia. Ladies carry their babies on their back, so why not carry a baby goat on your back? There you go. All types of things going on. We have an airstrip and we have a plane coming in, and often the pilots are very good to our boys just to show them the plane and this is how it works, and just a great life. Friend or foe, you can decide. All types of fun activities with them. They are homeschooled and they have lots of friends around at different times. Just all neat things they can do together in Africa. So, what are the ministry opportunities? Why are we there? Why has the Lord brought us there together? Let's just go through very quickly. Children's work, praise God, you've got VBS coming up. That's wonderful. God bless you for it. It's a wonderful opportunity. School opportunities, camp conference center, outreach, church teaching, medical work, village for the elderly. If we have time, just a quick bit of maintenance. Children's work, have a Sunday school at Loma, 7:30 to 8:30 every Sunday morning. Zambians tend to be early. They like the early mornings when the daylight is there. They get up. All age ranges from beginners right through to grade 10. Praise God for a number of committed teachers. Here are some of the Sunday school teachers. And you can just imagine being in a room, something like that. 300 children every morning, every Sunday morning, just singing together the praises of God. Isn't that wonderful? And then splitting out from that into all different classes around the building, some inside, some out, just presenting the Word of God into their lives. End of year, it's always a fun time. Games, prize time, etc. Just another little young children's work. Have a preschool right there. Two classes every morning, for 4, 5, 6 year olds. If you think of it, pray for this young lady, Ruth Lute in the local language. She looks after that. She was trained by someone from Northern Ireland who came over, set up for a year. And since then, the last about 12 years, she's been continuing in that work. What a blessing. Just these 60 young children, a class of 30 and 30, coming every morning, just starting them to read and write, but all on a spiritual foundation. At the end of the year, we call the parents together just to show what their children have done, but also have a short time to present the Word of God to all of them and then say, hey, here are your children. This is what they've learned. Remember that work if you're able. School opportunities. We're looking at a public high school, government school, where religious education is still part of the syllabus. It's an optional subject nowadays. It used to be compulsory. But praise God, we can get into this government high school just down the road, teaching grade 10, 11, 12, the Word of God. Grade 10 and 11 is the life of Christ in the book of Luke. Grade 12 is the start and growth of the church and other practical topics. Just a wonderful opportunity to get into that. Just a typical classroom environment. Remember that work, laying the foundation in these young people's lives. From that, we have Scripture Union, have a Bible study each Tuesday night where some and some hospital workers come to attend. Joy is a great culinary expert. She provides food for us every Tuesday evening, and after that we have a time of Bible study together. All sorts of opportunity with young people. I just want to stop and focus very quickly on Kayombo. You may forget the name. This is a new high school, a government high school, and the church is partnering with the government. Isn't that wonderful? The government has come out requesting a church to partner with them to provide education. And after a lot of groundwork, a lot of prayer, the assemblies have been chosen to partner with this high school. It's a boarding high school. We've formed a board to look after it and to run it, most of whom are Zambian national people who are experts in education, just with a couple of missionaries involved. Teachers paid by the government, selected by the board to go and teach at that place. Capacity for about 350 students from grade 8 to grade 12. Tough side is the location. We're fairly remote. You then have a 60-mile drive, 50-60-mile drive north up to where this is located. You can imagine in the rainy season, it's a little tough, but you come into the bush and you think, wow, what's this school doing here? Built to high standards. This is the assembly hall. I can't show you the admin area, the classrooms, the kitchen area, the dining facilities. Everything's there, the boarding facilities. Yes, tough getting there. That's the major challenge. You may come across things like this, but praise God, it's opened up to the gospel. Education on a spiritual foundation. Pray for these people who have been brought in, the headmaster, the deputy, both fellow believers in the Lord with a vision to run this school. Yes, they're in the middle of nowhere. Pray for them. But it's a great opportunity to get education into the lives of these people. Without stopping too much, you won't remember this man's name. He and his colleague, huge problem with drinking. Took over the school, said, look, we're not going to fire anyone. You'll be monitored the first term. Unfortunately, at the end of the first term, still the same. So we had to recommend, sorry, you're not here any longer. You're on transfer. But they are kicking against the system and saying, we are not moving. This is our school. We're here. Pray for them. They surrounded this man's house late one night, smashed the windows in his house, started shouting to him at midnight, get out, we're going to kill you. Left the pool of chicken blood outside, the normal witchcraft type thing. He's standing strong. Pray for him. That's very unusual in our environment. Just commit him to the Lord, the headmaster of Kayombo. He's doing a great job, used of the Lord. Took over the school with about 120 students. That is increasing bit by bit. Just pray for them. Huge opportunities. Took Easter weekend before we left on furlough just to go and spend with them 3 days sharing the Word of God 3-4 times a day. Just great opportunity. Have a camp conference center, just 10 minutes drive from where we are, being developed by Christians in the area, used for youth camps, and then also for different church conferences as well. Praise God, we have these two Christian couples who are living on the campsite, and otherwise it would be totally messed up all the time, but they're able just to bring security to the place. Season starts in April, goes through to September, and this is a typical startup day where people come, just give of their time to clean up the place and get ready, and this is lunchtime. Praise God for every one of those camps and conferences. Sisters in different assemblies give of their time to come and cook at this facility. Praise God for that. So, maybe a boys' camp, of which there are three, girls' camp. This is grade 7 and 8. You may have 160 students there over a long weekend, 3-4 days, just presenting the Word of God to them. Wonderful opportunity. After each presentation, small group discussion, just to make sure, have you understood? Never forcing. The Lord is the one who saves, Jehovah the Savior. But we present the Word of God and answer questions for them. Yes, they love their sports. There are sports time into volleyball at the moment. Football's still the big thing in Zambia, but they also love the volleyball as well. And you can imagine, just for counselors, great, just to get together in the off times, early morning, late evening, midday, just sharing. Iron sharpens iron. Many conferences held at this place for elders, Sunday school teachers. A couple of years ago, introduced some Bible study weeks. Praise God, just to have again 140 Christians together for a whole week, Monday evening through to Friday morning, sharing God's word on a consecutive basis. That's a huge need in Zambia. Many people coming to Christ, but it's the discipling and the teaching that is key. So we thank God for these times, just a room packed of Christian people. Start early morning, 6:30 to pray, and then go into the day from there. Gone through all sorts of things, overview of the Bible, salvation, topic of grace, Holy Spirit, all of these things just to create a foundation for them. Let's move on very quickly. Sorry if I'm overloading you. I just want to throw out all sorts of things to you. You may just pick up one or two things and pray for them. That's great. If you have questions, anytime you'll feel free to ask. Village outreach, we've mentioned Zambia is an open country. They would claim to be a Christian nation, but what does that mean? That means I attend a church. That means I was baptized. No. Salvation is faith in Christ, having a personal experience with Him. So we get this huge opportunity to go into village work. Monday afternoons, we devote to that with a group of local believers, just going village to village, sharing the Word of God. A time of great spiritual growth for those that we go with. Great opportunities to share the gospel and other biblical teaching. Here's a group that we work with at the moment. And we first pray together at home and then move out from there. Literally, from village to village to village. When you go on a village, you always greet. It's African custom. You never move without greeting and chatting. Say, oh, do you mind if we share something from God's word? 95% of people would respond with something like, why would we say no? Is that England? Definitely not. Is it America? Sadly, it's falling away, isn't it? But here are people keen and open to listen to the Word of God. So you may be on a village for 15 minutes, you may be there for 2 hours. You just never know, depending on the level of conversation. And yes, children are always there, loving information. Anything you can give out about the gospel, they will take it and read it and pass on to their friends. Just like America. Not quite. Praise God, at certain times in the year, 2-3 weeks, we're able to get away and do this on a whole week. Just go to a specific area. If there's a local assembly, meet with them each morning to encourage and strengthen them. Afternoon and evening, same type of work. And here's a typical group that we go with from time to time. Church teaching. Praise God, a lot of people have been and are being saved. Not just through missionaries, don't get the wrong impression here. There's a lot of local Zambian people reaching out, getting out with the gospel. And now we have, just within a drive of about 2 hour radius, 70 different assemblies. Small, not big like Melbourne, maybe 15, 20 people who need encouragement, who need teaching. You go and visit, hey, why has it been a year since you've come? When are you coming back again? Great opportunities. So we try and move with different people. If we go out on a Sunday, I'm jumping ahead. Let me just back up here. I'm getting carried away. So, church teaching, many opportunities in the assembly, many conference opportunities, etc. Where we're based at La Loma, praise God, it's an established assembly. And it's been there for 50 years or so. We have 6-7 godly Zambian elders in that place. Great to be in fellowship with them, but really our main ministry is moving out from there. And so on Sundays, go in the car, take perhaps 6 of us, 2 drop at one assembly, 2 another, and just try and spread the work in that way. Here's an assembly on the road out to town, always very friendly. This is my brother. First time, 17 years, he came to visit. It's great to have him. Took him around a lot. He struggled a little bit with the local food, but he enjoyed the time. You may go more to a rural area, and they're so giving. If you're there for the first time, you get the chicken, you have to receive it. That's cultural. Don't offend them. Take it with both hands and thank them for it. But be prepared to sit for quite a long time. Monthly conferences, they love to have extra teaching on Saturdays. And so 2 or 3 Saturdays each month, we go to different areas, just sharing again consecutive biblical teaching for these people. This one is close by. This one is about 30 minutes drive away. Just remember these opportunities to teach and see other young people coming up. In our absence, praise God, someone else is taking on this work, a local Zambian believer, to continue in this teaching. Conferences through the dry season, so normally May, June through to about September, October. Maybe 3 days in a village with a tent, maybe just under the trees, whatever the environment. Get the word out. What a wonderful opportunity. Time-wise, let me leave that one. Medical work. I know some of you are involved in medical work. Medical mission, please, is still big in Zambia. There's still opportunities. We're looking at 5 facilities catering to a huge community, each of them. And I'm only going to focus on La Loma today, where we are. We serve a community of 55,000 people, providing health care on a spiritual foundation. Great opportunity. Yes, we partner with the government, but it's founded on God's word. 120 beds, over 1,000 babies every year, lots of outpatients every day, a huge opportunity to meet people in their time of need. Some of our senior staff, remember this man, the only doctor at the hospital, going 24/7, had an update just a couple of days ago. He's going away for a week. He's been having major surgery the last couple of weeks, just all the time, seeing outpatients, doing this. He's just an incredible man. Remember him in your prayers and some of the other senior staff. Thank God, 5 years ago, he brought Bruce and Alice Mukwato to our area. They live just right next door to us. He has a background in the medical sphere, as a clinical officer, then went into public health, great administrator, helping at the hospital, but also a zeal for the word of God. Remember them. We have some missionary nurses from Canada, Marion and Daisy. Daisy Hannah, Marion Ronald, you might have come across the names. They've both given 50 years to that work. Isn't that incredible? I just mentioned very, very quickly, Daisy Hannah, my Zambian mother, when I first arrived, she took me under her wing. Just great. She's struggled with cancer for over 35 years, and now finally it seems to be terminal. And she's having to make the decision, does she pursue chemo any longer or not? Just remember her. Marion, her cousin, been struggling with macular degeneration, but was told she also has cataracts, so she's gone back to Canada thinking suddenly she's going to get her eyesight back again. The eye doctor says, sorry, cataracts are not the problem. It's the macular degeneration. So at the moment, the medical work from the missionary point of view is in the hands of Rebecca and Julie. She's been for about 2-3 years, Julie about 12-13 years. Just quickly show you around inpatients area. Nothing modern, nothing Western, but great opportunity. Always a queue at the doctor's office. Everyone loves babies. You want to look after one? Try looking after 3. Wow, isn't that incredible? You can imagine our kids had fun with that. Noah's Ark is always a special little area where the young children are. That's the young children's ward. Mostly malaria, just a big issue. Government issued us with a hospital ambulance. So now we can go and pick up the especially sick patients, but that's a huge issue because people call it for anything, you know, not just for the medical emergencies. Shouldn't really show you theater, I guess, laboratory. What's the purpose of this? The spiritual side. Two mornings every week, we call the staff together for a devotional. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God for this lady. She's working. They have prayer time together. God bless you for that. That's the powerhouse. Every morning, the gospel is preached on a PA system to all the patients through the ward. Whenever you're free, the doors are open. Go share the gospel on a ward. That's why we try and do every other Monday afternoon. Get in some wonderful conversations. Just share the word. And the greatest goal, not just seeing people help physically, that's important, but seeing someone transformed into a child of the living God. Finish up very quickly with the village for the elderly and with some maintenance work. Established about 20 years ago, again, right next door to where we are. Not nice being old in Africa. I can't go into all the details of witchcraft and culture and accusations, but it's there. It's always underneath, bubbling away. Someone sick on your village, well, because there's a witch on your village who may be your grandma or whatever. So tough. I have about 25, just had another one in our absence, 26 people living on this village, just getting a bit of basic care, something of God's love. Nothing wonderful. This is where they live. Each one has their own little room, provided with basic needs every month just to keep them going. Occasionally some extra clothing or blankets. Mention language, they're all there, Lunda, Luvali, Luchazi. The assemblies we move in, sorry, there's no English. It's all those four languages that are used. That's tough. You learn one and then you're still not hearing fully in others. That's Africa. You can just see the glint in this old lady's eye. Isn't it incredible? She's got nothing. She suffered with leprosy. She's a Luchazi. I speak in Lunda. We kind of get on, but don't always hear what she's saying. She just loves to laugh and joke with me. It's just, wow. This poor old lady, bless her. Been there since she was about 55. Can hardly walk because of her leprosy. Never had children. There she is, bless her. So, where are we? This is where we are, Laloma Mission, with the hospital. I buzz by that very quickly. That's where we meet, the local gospel hall there. The government high school. Houses for hospital, although they're coming down into here. The hospital itself, workshop. This is where we live down here somewhere. So just a big complex. You can imagine for those of you who are practical, there's always many practical needs. It may be computing, equipment. My background is engineering for my faults. So I get dragged in to fix a machine or whatever it may be, thinking I'm the expert. But poor folks. Plumbing, building, whatever. So we have a nice workshop where we can pull vehicles in. Praise God for this young man, Yohan and John. We've left him in charge. First time, he's doing well. Definitely saved. Still growing in mechanics. We've trained some other people. They've gone off and left, but he's picking up, but seems to be very faithful. We praise God for that. You can just imagine trying to monitor, maintain all the tools and equipment. He's doing a great job with that. We look after about 12 vehicles and a lorry. Always variety. Praise God for these two young men, Kings and Graham, both in assembly fellowship, now employed by the government, trained up in carpentry, plumbing, all sorts of things. And again, we've walked away and say, here you are, run. Thank God for them. We have an airstrip. That's another story. Praise God for it. If you ever come to visit, you don't have to bump for 12, 13 hours. Get into a little plane, 2.5 hours, you're at Laloma. Or medical emergencies, that's what it's been used for. You need to fly out to Chitokoloki, a more equipped hospital. Somewhere else, the facility is there. Africa is Africa. Set it up all nicely, wired in. 7 years down the road, all the wires disappeared. So every time a plane comes in, you're running up and down to shoo off the cows or the young people or children, whatever it may be. There we go. Thank you for that time. I want to share something from God's Word, but just to finish up, just a few prayer points I'll leave up while I'm sharing from God's Word, just to remember the many old people, the little help or care, sowing of God's Word amongst children, also the many students at Laloma and Kayombo. Remember that work. That's a key opportunity. village outreach work, strengthening of the many assemblies in the area, wisdom to know who and how to help. I won't get into that. There's no national care system, what do you call it in America? No welfare system out there. You're from overseas. You got the money tree. You know, help me with this, this, and this. And you're tripping over that every day of your life. And please don't forget my wife for help with many needs in hospitality and in homeschooling. If you have questions afterwards, please, Joy is there, the children are there, I'm there to help on that. But the main focus is the Word of God. Let's just finish by sharing briefly together. You can enjoy it further in your own time. Some verses from Isaiah. We're in chapter 12, first thing this morning. Let's come to chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. And just remember, the book of Isaiah sometimes is called like a mini Bible, isn't it, for the 66 chapters. And what you have throughout the book of Isaiah just glimpses all the time of, behold my servant, behold your God, behold a king. Just look at me, and don't we need that today? You know, our eyesight is sucked away to so many things, and Isaiah says, no, just look at him, that's all you need, you don't need anything else. And when you come to chapter 40, Jacob is complaining, our way is hidden from the Lord. He says, don't you know? Haven't you heard? I am God. And let's come to chapter 52, verse number 13. It says, reading from New King James today, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high. Just as many were astonished at him, so his visage, his outward appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men beyond human recognition. So shall he astonish many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them, they shall see. What they had not heard, they shall consider. May the Lord bless his word to us. Starts out with that wonderful exhortation. Behold, look intently upon what? What are we looking intently at? There's so much to drag our attention and our gaze. And he says, look intently upon my servant. He said, behold your God. Behold the king, and now it's the servant twice over in Isaiah. Isn't that incredible? We were thinking this morning, Yeshua, Jehovah, our Savior, to be that Savior, he became the servant. And so Christianity is not about greatness and fame and popularity. It's about humility and service, isn't it? And we need to behold him because he is at the forefront. He is the whole instigator and provider and designer of this. And we're just servants. And we need to keep our focus and gaze upon that. I don't know about you, but younger in life, you think, well, I can do this. I have this ability. And suddenly as you start to mature, I'm now 51 for my sins, you suddenly realize you can't do anything. It takes us a long time to get to that. It's not about me. It's about him. It's not about us and what we can do. It's about him and what he can do. And so he says, behold, look intently at my servant. He's the forerunner. He's the focus in the race. Gaze intently upon him. He's my servant, different to any other servant that has ever lived, because he's the servant's son. Isn't that incredible? Don't have time to follow that. I leave that with you. Then he says, he shall deal prudently, wisely. Oh, the wisdom in Christ. Please, young people, don't get detracted by the apparent wisdom of this world. It's false. It's failing. True wisdom is in the very source of wisdom. And our world today, in all its apparent wisdom, is denying the very source of wisdom, God himself. In him, don't forget Colossians 2:3, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he says in James 1, is it verse 5 or 6, are you lacking wisdom? We all lack wisdom.
He says, if you're lacking wisdom, ask of me and I give liberally. In the local language, I give with two hands. It's a liberal giving. I can't give any more. It's all there. Isn't that amazing? Perhaps you've come today like me. You're lacking wisdom. He's the source of wisdom. Ask of him and he will give liberally. Not only act wisely, some translations say he shall prosper. Praise God. Of the increase, of the prosperity of his government, there shall be no end. He will prosper, whether we believe it or not. He then says, and can I just underline this at the end of verse 13? He shall be exalted. He shall be extolled. He shall be very high. Three definite, unstoppable promises. He shall. Who can change the word of God? I know people trash it today. God forgive them and open their eyes. And people write it off as worthless myth. But dear friend, whoever you may be, I'd just like to stop and challenge you and help you today. This book is living and it's eternal. And its promises are sure. No matter what you may think about it, people have tried to destroy it and they have failed. And God says to us in reminder this morning, he, my servant, shall be exalted. Why? Because he humbled himself. And he is the teacher of that and the example of that. He says, whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. And so here is his reward, isn't it, for his humble stoop into this world. He shall be exalted. Praise God, that day is coming, seen in the sight of this whole world. But it's already taken place in heaven, Philippians 2. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. It's taken place. What are you waiting for? If God has exalted him, shouldn't we exalt him and give to him the first place in our hearts and our lives? Dear friend, you may be seeking for fulfillment in life. Can I encourage you and just tenderly help you today? If you want satisfaction in life, it comes from this humble servant and exalting him in your life, because he shall be exalted. That is a divine promise. And praise God, we have been brought into that this morning, given the rightful place as his reward. He shall be extolled, and that simply means to speak well of with your lips. How opposite when he came, the song of the drunkard, mocked and despised. Who is this man? He's out of his mind. He shall be extolled. Isn't it wonderful? We've met together this morning to do what? To extol him, to speak well of him in fulfillment of this purpose and to surround and worship him together, because the Bible says he shall be extolled. Philippians 2, he's been given a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. I challenge you again today. Are you willing to extol his name with all of your heart? It's the greatest satisfaction you can ever have, to have an encounter with a living God who became the servant to be your Savior. Finally, it says, he shall be very high. Isn't that great? Trodden underfoot, lifted up upon a cross in rejection, despised completely. The Bible says he shall be very high. And the crowning day is coming by and by. Wonderful. Our Lord was once rejected and by the world disowned. But the crowning day is coming by and by. Very, very quickly, our time is gone. Verse 14 and 15 dwell on them. Upon that background of setting the stage, first, before there is the exaltation, the extolling, being made very high, see him in his humiliation and the depth of that humiliation that astonished many people. And as you go into chapter 53, it starts by saying, who is ever going to believe what I'm writing? That this very one who's going to be exalted first will become nothing. We were reminded this morning, no beauty that we should desire him, no outward appearance that would attract people. And yet he's going to be exalted. And so verse 14 says, just as many were astonished at him, because his visage, his appearance was marred more than any man has ever experienced. The depth of the suffering of Christ excels anything that anyone has ever suffered. Can I encourage you, if you're suffering today, Christ has been there before you. And he alone is able to come alongside and sympathize, because he was there. And to encourage, says, his form more than the sons of men, no longer recognizable as a human being. I just direct you very, very quickly to chapter 50, verse 5 and 6. The Lord has opened my ear. I was not rebellious. I did not turn away back. I gave my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. He willingly endured it all. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. To be your Savior and mine, we are humbled and amazed by his humility and his suffering. But dear friends, verse 15 says, just in the same way, people are absolutely in awe of his humiliation and his suffering and his death. There's another day of vindication coming when people will be equally amazed and astounded at the greatness of his glory. We're reminded today, Titus 2:13, the coming of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's coming, and verse 15 says, so shall he in the same way, he shall astonish many nations. We're thinking of the nations who will come and worship before him. He shall amaze many nations. Cry out for America today. Cry out for Europe, that they will become amazed before it's too late in the greatness of our God and Savior. Kings shall close their mouths at him. That's the opposite of today's world, where kings and rulers claim to have every answer and solution. And they will see him for the first time and their mouths will be stopped with nothing to say. Why? What had not been told them, they shall see. Pray for world rulers. Would you want to be a world ruler in our world today? I certainly wouldn't. And they're being driven by ignorance and satanic activity, and they're doing something, not being told the truth. What had not been told them, they shall see. What they had not heard, there'll be cause to consider. There are many people in our world today, not only Africa, who haven't heard, who haven't seen. But you and I, with this very personal witness of the King who became the servant, have a message to tell and a message to share with those who have not seen, because the day is coming when every eye will see him and every knee will bow before him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for such a great salvation and for such a wonderful, glorious Savior. He is beyond compare, and he is altogether lovely. He is eternal. He is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. And we thank you for the promise we've been reminded of again this morning. Even though he became the lowest of all, he shall be exalted. He shall be extolled. He shall be very high. May this become more true in our daily personal lives, in our family lives, in our assembly life. The Christ will be the focus of all. Thank you for this time. Pray your rich blessing upon your people here at Malvern. Bless and encourage them, we pray. the many activities that have been mentioned, your work in Zambia, it's your work. We bow humbly today and give our thanksgiving at your throne in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Just in closing, I think we have a hymn to close with. Thank you.